So good to see everyone and welcome. We got a big crowd this morning and we're glad to have you here. And we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5 if you want to open your Bibles up there for a minute. But before we do, I want to remember to talk about a few things, some events we have coming up here that I want all of us to be thinking about and making our plans for. And one of them is going to be in March the 17th, we're going to have what's called a Homecoming Sunday, and that will be kind of an anniversary of sorts. This building was dedicated on March the 10th, 1974, and that'll be 50 years that this building has been here. And so we're going to be celebrating 50 years of worshiping in this location. But we're going to do it on March the 17th, not March the 10th, because spring break begins that weekend, and a lot of people are going to be out and doing things, and I'm going to be gone too, and our family's going to be gone, and I know many other families like to go and do things on spring break week and weekend and among our teachers. So we're not going to do it that week, but we're going to do it the weekend of March the 17th, and that will coincide with our third Sunday potluck also. And so we won't have to move potluck Sunday around. And we're just going to have a good homecoming celebration. And if you know anybody who has ever worshiped here with us, maybe they don't live here anymore in New Boston, maybe they worship somewhere else, give them a ring and say, hey, we're going to have homecoming Sunday on March the 17th. We've been here for 50 years. Why don't you come back and visit with us that Sunday? And let's just see what happens as a result of that. And we're going to have a guest speaker, Brother Robert Rochelle, who was here to help dedicate the building in 1974, believe it or not. And he's still around. And so he's going to come and preach to us, and I'm going to lead singing that morning. And so it'll be a great, great day of worshiping God together. And so put that on your calendar, March the 17th, Homecoming Sunday. And we got some flyers that we're going to be distributing here about that very soon. We also have our gospel meeting coming up, and that's going to be at the end of March and beginning of April. So March the 31st will be when that starts. And Brother Andy Baker, he's a wonderful preacher. You will not be disappointed in him. He's going to do a great job, and you will really be interested in the topic. It coincides with our yearly theme, Christ the King. And Andy's going to be preaching on the many crowns of our King. And that's such an interesting topic, I think. And so he'll be here to speak on that, and that'll be great. And then I know this is a little further down the road, but I want to go ahead and plug it anyway, just to get your mind juices thinking about it. And that is, we're going to have a Family and Friends Day in May. And it's going to be that third Sunday in May. I can't remember what the date is, but whatever it is, that third Sunday. Second Sunday in May is Mother's Day. So we're not going to do it on Mother's Day. Don't worry about that. But we will be doing that on the third Sunday. That'll also coincide with our potluck. And this will be kind of a pre-summer, hey, let's get everyone here to the building before summer. Invite all your family and friends to come in, and we'll worship together before everybody takes off and starts going everywhere for the summer. Because you know how things go in the summer. People get busy. They go on vacations and you know, we're always missing somebody during the summer, you know, and that's okay. People can do things. We want people to do things and go out and have a good time and enjoy this world that God has made for us to enjoy. That's what we want. But let's try to get everybody here that third Sunday in May. We're going to call it Family and Friends Day. Invite all your family and friends to come, and we'll just make it a wonderful experience for everyone. So keep those events in mind, and then we might have some more announcements about more events that are coming up. I know we got camp Ida that we're involved with now, that I'm helping to direct to somewhat. I know we got a lot of little kids that are still up and coming, but some of our older kids are going to Camp Ida this summer, and I'll be there, and Blake's going to have his family there, and anybody else who wants to join us at Camp Ida, you're welcome to join us. That'll be the first week in July, and so that'll be a good time also. Well, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness or meekness, some translations say. And the word for gentleness, meekness here, probably meekness is the better translation. When we think about the word gentleness, I think, you know, we mean like being easy with people and things like that, but or being easy with something, being gentle with something, handling it with ease and with care, great intense care, you know. But I think meekness is probably a better word here, because the idea of being meek includes the idea of humility, and it's the notion that we are going to behave in a way that is very moderate. All right, so moderation is in the center of this word in the Greek New Testament. And so here we have Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We've been working our way through these fruits of the Spirit here, and we've talked about all of them up to today. And gentleness is the next one. And self-control, we'll talk about that next month as we think about the fruit of the Spirit. And against such there is no law. God is letting us know that we can practice these attitudes freely and generously. He wants us to do that, in fact. And so as we think about the fruit of the Spirit here, in the context, he is contrasting these attitudes with the works of the flesh. And those are things that we don't want to participate in. But these fruit of the Spirit, it teaches us what it means to be spiritual. You know, when people talk about, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Maybe you've heard that before somewhere. But the Bible says we need to be spiritual. And what does it mean to be spiritual? It means to practice the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it means. And so if you ever want to know what it means to be spiritual, just come to Galatians chapter 5 and you can read a whole chapter in the Bible about what it means to be spiritual and what it means not to be spiritual. And sometimes people say, oh, I'm spiritual, but then they really, what they mean is, I'm involved in all these fleshly, lustful things, and I'm just covering up for those things with saying I'm spiritual, which they're really not. But to be spiritual means to let the Spirit guide us, to let the Spirit teach us, and to for God to be in control in our life. And so gentleness and meekness is something that's under our control, just like love is under our control and goodness is under our control. And all the fruit of the Spirit is something under our control, something we can do something about. And we need to practice these attitudes within our lives. Being meek or being gentle, here this word means to be even-tempered, not given to extremes, not letting one's emotions get the best of him or her. It's an attitude that's associated with humility. So that's why I say I think meekness is a better translation really than gentleness, but the New King James Version says gentleness, and it's the idea that regardless of what happens, all the drama, you know, that surrounds us on a daily basis, we're going to be even tempered. We're going to have an attitude that is going to be calm, a demeanor that is going to not sway one way or the other with the extremes that we're being presented in this life. And so meekness helps us in a lot of ways. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit, and it helps us personally and socially and spiritually. And I want to look at those three areas of our lives and how meekness impacts those three areas as we look at the scriptures and think about this idea. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is meekness or gentleness because it helps us personally. And you know, we need to moderate our passions. You think about our desires that we have, and they can be so strong sometimes. And you know, I thought about cupcakes. There used to be a cupcake place over there in Texarkana, and every time I went by there, I was like, I gotta get me a cupcake, you know. And now there's a cookie place over there. I don't know if anybody's ever been to the cookie place, but whew, those cookies are good. And, you know, we have these desires, these fleshly desires. And there's other things that we desire within our lives that are fleshly oriented. And then when those desires get out of control, like, you know, instead of just eating one cookie, you eat 10 cookies or something like that. Well, maybe you shouldn't have done that, right? And you look back and you think, man, I shouldn't have had that 10th cookie, right? And then also the 9th and 8th and 7th and 6th as well. But sometimes our desires get out of control. And then we do things that we're not proud of. And sometimes our desires get out of control and we commit sin. And that's really not good. And so James talks about that here. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And so meekness, gentleness, it helps us to moderate our desires on a personal level. I'm going to be humble here, and I'm not going to eat that 10th cookie or whatever cookie I shouldn't be eating. I'm going to bring myself under control, moderate my desires. And moderation is part of what it means to be meek here in this context. Of course, in contrast, we see what is not meek by this list of the lusts of the flesh, which Paul discusses: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. These are all extreme behaviors that the Bible is saying we should not participate in. And when we have meekness or gentleness in our lives, we're going to avoid these evil, sinful behaviors. And those things are not going to get the better of us. And that's the idea. What meekness helps us moderate our personal behavior. And it brings peace to our life. You know, when you're at the extremes, things are very chaotic, right? And they're not very peaceful. Now, we can harness things to have fun, and that's okay. I'm thinking, you know, about sports and things like that. And, you know, as long as we remember that ultimately it's not about that, but we can have fun being extreme a little bit. Sometimes, you know, playing dominoes, things can get a little extreme. Not too extreme, but you can get excited about things. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't want that to get out of control, because what ends up happening is we create a lot of drama in our lives and other people's lives, and then people get upset and offended, mad, and there we have conflict. That conflict then creates division and a lot of things. We want peace. That's what we need to have. Moderation, gentleness, meekness brings peace. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you. What things? What he taught, his word. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The world wants extremes. Just turn on the news and watch it for about 2 minutes, and you'll know that from a clear point of view. Extreme this, extreme that. and always talking about the extremes. We don't want that in our lives. We want moderation. We want meekness. And so Jesus brings peace, and God brings a blessing with meekness, the blessing of peace and knowing that God is there with us to bless us. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. There's an extreme, right? Anxiety. And anxiety runs away in the lives of many people, and they have great problems with that. But the Christian who practices meekness can rein that in through prayer and supplication. And it may require some very intense prayer and supplication on our part. We may have to get down on our knees and beg and weep before God to help us with some problem that we have in our life. But God will provide. And with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's blessings come to those who are meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, Jesus said, Matthew 5 and verse 5. And so the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, meekness, and it helps us on a personal level. But then it also helps us socially. When we have this attitude of meekness, humility, gentleness, it's going to help us to build relationships with other people. Think about Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. There's the extreme of idolizing self, right? That's an extreme. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So meekness helps us then to get out of our own head, so to speak, and not think of ourselves so much, but think of other people and think about what we need to do in relationship to them to build good relationships with others. Selfish ambition and conceit, it ends up dividing. It ends up creating conflict, because when we're selfishly ambitious and we're conceited, it's just all about me, you know, and having my way and getting my way. That's what Paul is saying. We should not want to have our own way. We should not want to get our own way. We should be willing to humble ourselves and to look at others and think, okay, how can I help them succeed? Not just me, me, me. And that's something that meekness aids us in. And it helps us to get along with other people in that way. It helps us in get along with the government. Titus 2 verses 1 and 2 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And, you know, I think about some videos that I've seen on YouTube where people are teaching other people how to act when you're stopped by a police officer. And there's a way to act and there's a way not to act, right? And if you're stopped by a police officer, you know, you say, yes, sir, no, sir. You keep your hands on the wheel where they can see your hands, you know, because they don't know what to expect. They don't know what's going to happen. And they're prepared to go in a lot of different directions. And so you want to be as peaceable as possible. And then if you're sitting there yelling at them and causing them problems, and, you know, they're not going to like that very much. And so meekness is going to help us to moderate these situations, right? And to show proper respect for authorities. It's going to get us along in life in regard to our relationship with the government. Meekness helps in forgiveness. We need to forgive others. And if we're not meek, if we're not gentle, if we don't practice this fruit of the Spirit, we're not going to be forgiving. And of course, you remember what Jesus said about forgiveness. If that's something, if we don't practice it, we're not going to get it, right? And so this is a salvation issue here when it comes to forgiveness. And so Colossians 3, 12 to 13 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, notice, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. So all of these are related. Meekness is there. It's part of the formula that helps us practice forgiveness. And meekness is going to bring unity in the church. Think about Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. There's that word, gentleness or meekness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, when people don't practice meekness, then crazy things happen. You have conflict and division and trouble in the Lord's church. To have unity, we need meekness. We need gentleness. This fruit of the Spirit that's being discussed here in Galatians 5, it is necessary for us if we want unity in the body of Christ. And to restore others to the body of Christ who have left, we need meekness. Think about Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness or meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Meekness helps us to see ourselves as we really are and not as our pride wants us to be, right? Because when we are meek, when we practice this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, meekness, we're going to see that, man, I've got just as many problems as somebody else does. And if I'm to go help somebody to be restored to the Lord, now I've got to acknowledge my own problems first and recognize that I'm going to him as one who has had troubles himself, right? And now I've got to be meek when I approach this person and talk to them about their spiritual troubles. And what does that mean? It means, boy, I got to really know myself very well. And I've got to acknowledge whatever sins that I've committed in my life. I've got to own up to them. But when we do that, something really wonderful happens. We actually begin to build relationships with other people instead of tearing them down. And that's what God wants. He wants us to build relationships so that we can keep the church together. And so meekness helps us socially. But then finally, meekness helps us spiritually as well. And that is, it makes us have a great relationship with God. Because you know what? God is meek. God is gentle. And you say, well, what about all them Old Testament passages? Well, God was very patient and long-suffering with people. He's also a God of justice. But remember, Jesus teaches us who God really is. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we know that Jesus was meek and lowly. Think about Zechariah 9:9, which is a prophecy that Jesus fulfills in Matthew 21, verse 5, which says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And you may remember that Jesus did this when he rode into Jerusalem in that triumphal entry in Matthew chapter 21. And this was a meek thing to do, riding on a donkey. And you say, well, what's so significant about a donkey? Well, it was the generals and kings and Caesars who, when they entered into cities, they rode on horses mainly, because horses were symbols of war and conflict or conquest. and triumph over conflict. And you see, that's what made a king or a general stand out to people. But if somebody rode on a donkey, and a foal of a donkey, a very humble animal, and a very low animal, you see, that indicated they were for peace. They didn't want war. And that was a humble thing to do in that day and time. And so Jesus fulfills this prophecy, showing that he is one who is meek and lowly. Think about Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It took meekness for Jesus to do this. Every step of the way, he had to be meek. He had to be meek when he left heaven and came to earth to live as a man. He had to be meek when he did not count himself to be on equality with God, but emptied himself. He had to be meek when he took the became a servant to others. He had to be meek when he took the appearance of a man or the form of a man, it says here. He had to be meek when he was obedient unto death. He had to be meek when he went to the cross. Jesus was meek. And as we think about his life and compare ourselves to him, we need to be more meek within our lives, because Jesus wants this attitude for his kingdom. Zephaniah 3:12, I will leave you in the midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. So God's people are people who need to be meek and lowly. And as we are practicing meekness, we're going to find that as a result of that, we're going to avoid a lot of trouble with God. Zephaniah 2:3 says, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And so we need meekness to escape judgment. And meekness helps us in preaching the gospel to others. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And so those from time to time, and we have several good men here who get up and who speak the gospel from time to time besides myself, we all need to be meek as we're preaching the Lord's word, understanding that it's God's word that we're uplifting. It's Jesus Christ that we're uplifting. And that those who come to the Word of God are coming to Christ. And it takes meekness to do that, recognizing that the emphasis is upon Him, not us. And so the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness or meekness. It helps us personally, it helps us socially, and it helps us spiritually. And it can help you this morning get into a right relationship with God, because you need meekness to submit to the message of the gospel, to hear his word and believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. It takes meekness to do that. And maybe someone this morning would like to step forward and become a child of God in through that process. We'd be happy to help you do that. And maybe you need the prayers of the church so you can be more meek within your life. You never know when somebody needs prayers. You can ask that right now or at another time, or whatever your situation is, we can find a way to pray with you and for you. And so if you need to come forward right now and do something in your life different, make a change, we'd be happy to help you. While together we stand and while we sing.